Today is Sunday, April 10th, 2016, and this...
Yeah.
I have a major problem, pal.
How far are you from Las Vegas?
About 2 hours.
Make it one. The Babylon Hotel asks for John Dalton.
Right.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 547.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. We are back from our multiple extended Vegas April festivity extravaganza or something.
Oh, we're coherent today.
I'm kind of happy to be home. I mean, I loved Vegas. I loved every minute of it. But I'm at that point
even
now.
Even though every day you've been like, God, I wish I were in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth. I'm like, I miss it. And I... am anxious to go back, and yet there's part of me that just doesn't want to leave this chair for the next many months.
Yeah.
So
I had a great time, but I am really tired.
I know.
And I need to recuperate before I go back.
It's crazy how much it takes out of you sometimes, you know. And it's not like we hit it that hard either. Yeah. We were fairly responsible.
And I was a little under the weather, so I think that took more out of me than usual. So.
Yeah, I think you're still recovering from that.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, last weekend at we had a great time. It was lovely to see so many of you. Thanks to everybody who came out once again. And thanks as well to our hosts at the D Las Vegas. As always, they let us take over their showroom and treated us exceptionally well.
They had some nice signs out front and on the marquee.
Yep.
It was nice.
It was very nice. So this is the first time that we've done this specific event, but it was very much like our original Vegas Podcast-a-Palooza events.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different than our October Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic. What are your thoughts on, now that we are a week removed from it, what do you think? How did it go?
I liked the contrast because VIMF is so action-packed and it's crazy in a good way, but it also takes a lot out of me and I don't think I would have... In my physical condition, recovering from whatever plague this is, I don't know how well I would have done, but having something low-key as a contrast...
A little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
I did, too. I had a really good time. It was different. Turnout was better than I expected.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe like 40 or 50 people or something like that, and I don't know...
The room was a lot fuller than I thought it would be, and I'm very appreciative of people for... coming out.
I heard counts ranging from 75 to 125. So we're going to go with 100 because that's right in the middle.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that was a pretty good turnout. It was a much more subdued audience than we have at VIMF.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
But that's okay.
Vibe. Oh, they were still fun. They seemed to be enjoying themselves. And the other thing that threw me off a little bit was that the lights were on.
Yeah. We could see people a lot better.
I kind of like having the lights off.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about people listening to us and watching us when we're doing this too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was still fun. We had a great time, and I don't know if it's going to be a thing. Chuck alluded to it being an annual. He said first annual, which I went, really? We're doing this again?
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. So I don't know. Maybe we'll be doing it again. But thanks again to everybody who came out, and it was good to see many of you. The other thing that surprised me is I kind of thought that more people would hang around afterwards, that we would have like a large cluster of people at Long Bar, and some people were around, people came and went, but it seemed like everybody kind of scattered afterwards since there weren't other official events going on right away afterwards.
And we ended up turning in a little early because you were out pretty late Friday night.
I made an error in judgment Friday night as far as my alcohol consumption and turn in time.
And then I was just going whatever you were doing.
You were just, well, you were being a little smarter than I was due to your illness, I'd say.
Yeah.
Your illness made you smarter.
Okay. Anyway, the one thing I felt bad about is Tom from SoCal brought these amazing donuts.
I know.
They looked so cool.
We saw
they had
photos.
Loopy designs on them and stuff, and most people had gone to bed.
We were all old people. We had crashed by that hour.
And I felt bad that we could not partake in this thing that he'd gone out of his way to do.
It was very cool to see that, though. It was very, very nice. So, all right, so...
But we got some... I felt like I got to hang out with people a little bit more and have some extended conversations, and it was just...
Some people,
nice.
But then there were other people that were there that I was like, I didn't even get a chance to talk to.
Yeah.
Our buddy Al from San Diego, for example. Yes. We saw him there, and there were a few people like that. I passed Taylor. He was...
Yeah.
He was... I was going into the bathroom as he was coming out, and that's not a time where you want to stop and have an extended conversation because it's slightly awkward, but we said hello. But, you know, there's a bunch of people I would have liked to have chatted with a little bit more that just didn't happen.
Yeah, that's Vegas, though.
I mean, everything is tentative. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see these fine folks again in October, and we can
catch up then.
Raise a glass together at that time. All right. So, with that, we've got a little bit of news to catch up on, and... bunch of trip stuff, a bunch of phone calls. We're not going to get to everything this week. So if you've called in recently and you don't hear it on this particular show, well, it's going to take us a few weeks to get all caught up, but that's okay. So we're only going to talk about one news item this week.
But it's a big one.
There might be some other stuff, but this is a biggie and worthy of a little bit more discussion than we sometimes have on our news items. And it surrounds Steve Wynn and his lovely properties, Wynn and Encore.
Is his voice still ringing in your ears? From
oh, my
to
goodness.
Call?
So, yeah, on Wednesday, Steve and some of his execs had a conference call. Now, normally these conference calls are quarterly earnings calls. They're scheduled. They go through specific things. They talk about some of their projects, take some questions from typically investment firms, and that's how it works. This was something different. It was something new called Investor Day, which he said they've never done before. Which is the reason that I listen to it. I don't listen to these calls very often. Once in a while, I will. This one, I just thought, well, it's a strange thing that they're doing it. So there might be something noteworthy here. Let me listen. It was, how long was it? 2.5 hours was I on that thing?
Yeah.
It was long. And it was crazy. It was like crazy. It started out and they talked a lot about China and very... subtly dropped in that Wynn Palace in Macau is going to open late. Mm-hmm. They didn't exactly say that. They just dropped in, oh, by the way, we're probably going to open in July or August. Previously, it was scheduled for the end of June. So
some
I was like,
people had travel plans for that.
Yes. So then I was like, okay, is that the reason? Are we wrapping all this nonsense around that and just trying to hide it in that little nugget of a... So I thought that might be it because they went on and on about Macau. And, you know, I'm interested in it moderately, but I'm never going to – I have no interest in going to China. So I'm kind of like, well, it'll be cool to see pictures. And I look forward to hearing about our friends' experiences. But and he was going on and on about like – all of a sudden he started recounting the plot of Cabaret. It had – for 5 minutes.
What?
It had something to do – they're doing a restaurant there that's – I think it might be the steakhouse. They're doing something kind of like Switch.
Uh-huh.
Was which why would you do that?
That concept didn't really take off, so why would you?
They're building entertainment into the dining experience because apparently that's more expected there.
Are they going to have Bevertainers come out and do numbers from Cabaret?
Something about a giant gorilla and a banana, and I don't know. There was all kinds of nonsense. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
Was this when he was talking about the Jack in the Box?
No, that came a little later.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so that flower – Carousel at – at Wynn is a kind of a test for some stuff they want to do in China. They're going to have a bunch of different flower designed moving features. They're going to have a larger carousel. They're going to have a 2-story high Jack in the Box.
Which isn't creepy at all.
The picture is creepy. They're going to have some sort of egg that opens up and has a phoenix come out of it. I don't know.
Okay, Steve.
So there's all that stuff. Then he talked about their project in Boston a little bit again. It's like, oh, maybe we'll see that sometime, but moderately interested at best. Waiting for them to get to Las Vegas. Finally, they did after like 2 hours of him prattling on and on and on. And the big announcement was that he's going to be redeveloping the golf course land. And we discussed this briefly a few weeks ago when it was a rumor in Norm Clark's column. Remember that Siegfried and Roy had supposedly seen some secret plans It turns out that actually happened, apparently. So the golf course, which again, a year and a half ago, Steve said will never be developed as long as he's still alive. Apparently he's changing his mind or he's planning on dying soon. I'm not sure which. Is going to...
What if it's zombie Steve Wynn? Like, what if he secretly is no longer with us?
Isn't he kind of already? Yeah, yeah. I think... I don't know. So anyway, here's what the plans entail. There's a lot to this. For the time being, at least, the golf course is going to be reduced to 9 holes, which... big, you know, people who are really into golf probably aren't going to be that crazy about a 9-hole golf course.
Yeah.
It's probably going to go away if they even do this 9-hole thing. It's probably just a placeholder for further development later on. Which, by the way, Steve said all the entire time he has had this project, they've known the golf course was just a placeholder. Which, again, goes against what he said a year and a half ago. But so that 9-hole course, which may or may not happen, probably going to be something else later on. As part of the project, there will be a new hotel. It's going to be a much smaller hotel than Wynn and Encore. It's 1,000 rooms. And most, if not all of them, will have terraces. Taking a page out of the Cosmo handbook there.
Mm-hmm.
And it will have apparently a small casino and a bunch of meeting space. Now, all of this is going to overlook the central focal point of this new development, which is a 38-acre white sand beach Crystal Lagoon. And I watched a few videos from this company called Crystal Lagoons.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, these are a thing. There's like 80 of them around the world, and there are a lot more coming.
What makes them crystal lagoons?
So here's the thing. There's this whole long extended story about the guy who came up with this concept. He had built this huge man-made lake and was very proud of it. And like 2 days after opening, the water all turned green.
Uh-huh.
But he was a chemist by trade. I think it was a chemist. And came up with a way to prevent the water from turning green. And it's so it's crystal clear. And it's a little a different process than you don't have to put as much chemical stuff in as like a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more cleaner. It has something to do with the circulation and stuff. I don't know. I'm not that smart, but it's going to be a huge lake, and it's going to be available and open for all kinds of water sports.
What kind of water sports?
They cited a bunch of different things, and I'll be surprised if half of these happen. Because they were like, parasailing. I'm like, really? On a 38-acre lake, you're going to parasail? That seems a bit... I don't see parasailing.
Yeah.
They said there's...
What about parabouncing?
I don't think we're going to see parabounce over the lake. But they did say like paddleboarding, which mm-hmm. makes sense. Swimming, obviously. Mm-hmm. Water skiing, possibly. They talked about having a water ski show.
Huh.
So I'm thinking like Wisconsin Dells, Tommy Bartlett
uh-huh.
thrill show.
The Go-Go's vacation video.
Exactly. That kind of fun thing. A couple times an afternoon, I guess they clear the lake out and all of a sudden the water skiers come out. I don't know how this is going to work. But
will there be sharks being jumped?
Some people are saying that this whole project is the shark being jumped. But we'll talk more about the reaction in a minute.
Okay.
The whole thing will be surrounded by a boardwalk. Obviously, they will have restaurants as well because... you know, hanging out, watching, having some food and watching all this craziness on the beach. He's bring, mm-hmm. He says he's bringing beach lifestyle to Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
So the other big thing is fireworks nightly. And that's an expensive proposition. So I'm kind of interested to see if that's going to last long term, if that happens at all.
Yeah.
Although they're building this island in the middle of the lake. And the purpose of that is to shoot the fireworks off. They'll use it for other things too, but... as far as he went on, he got very technical a couple times, and he was talking about the distance that you need to have the fireworks from the building and how mm-hmm. they're going to go to the top of the towers. And so anyway, they're going to apparently shoot off fireworks every night, which, again, we'll get to this in a minute. Okay, so so much to say here. There will be an admission for this. And that was what he kept talking about is how this is going to be a huge moneymaker. And that's kind of what the purpose of this land has been, to at some point start making a bunch of money off it. And he's having trouble finding any – he's like, shoot holes in this. Somebody tell me what the problem with this is. The plan – and he said it was kind of a weird thing too. I don't know that he realized he was on microphone.
Mm-hmm.
At first he kind of said $20 to $25 admission. But then someone asked a question off mic and he kind of muttered an answer and said something about a $20 fee for hotel guests. And $25 to $30 admission charge for non-guests. Now, I hope that he's not planning on a $20 per day mandatory fee for hotel guests on top of the resort fee, because that would
blow.
Be extremely excessive, and I'm guessing a lot of people who are staying there aren't going to want to go necessarily every day. So yeah, admission charge is how they're going to pay for this whole thing, and he's planning on, and of course, they'll be charging a bunch for the premium rooms and for food, and I suppose if you want to rent a paddleboard, you know, all those additional things will probably carry charges as well. So, general thoughts on this. My first thought was, it'll be really cool to get one of those rooms with the terraces overlooking the lake and watching fireworks shoot off from your hotel room. I'm not a big fireworks guy. Like, I don't go somewhere to watch fireworks. But if I know that there are going to be fireworks shooting off outside of my hotel room window at 10 o'clock, sure as hell I'm going to be out on the patio watching that with a cocktail in my hand. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
It'd be something different. So those rooms are going to be ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
It'll be fun to see that.
Do you think the oonts will bleed over from
the nightclubs?
Yeah.
It kind of depends, I think, if they decide to put some sort of nightclub on this side of the hotel. Because right now, I think they're out on the other side.
Okay.
They're on the strip-facing side, I believe. I might be wrong. I don't know the entire layout that well. Possibly. Again, this is a couple years away, so... Mm-hmm.
Maybe the nightclubs will have folded by then.
Not all of them, but, you know.
Excess will still be going strong.
Nightclubs are changing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it will still be. Yeah, I don't know if that'll have any effect. Now, that is the other thing. I suppose, though, I was going to say, what about the noise from the people enjoying swimming and families and all that shit? You know, that's going to kick in pretty early in the morning, I would think. So that might be a factor. Hopefully they'll soundproof the new rooms quite well.
Yeah.
So speaking of families, that's the other thing here that's kind of noteworthy. This is obviously a very different thing than Wynn is known for. They banned strollers in the casinos. This is definitely going to attract families, and he made no bones about it. He's like, everybody's going to come and see this. They all have money, and I don't care if they spend a nickel in my slot machines. Mm-hmm. We're going to have everybody, families. And so... For a property that's a high-end luxury property that doesn't necessarily cater to having children along, although I guess maybe can you bring strollers if you're a hotel guest? I guess that's the one exception.
Yeah, I think so.
But even still, he's not exactly looking for the family market historically. This certainly is. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an odd fit. And then on a larger scale... Between this and the Resorts World project, assuming that happens, which is very much aimed at families, are we kind of, I don't want to say getting back to that because the previous attempt at that in the 90s was ill-conceived, but I'm wondering since there's such a focus now on non-gaming revenue and casinos play a less important role on the bottom line, if now makes more sense for some of these companies to go family-friendly. I'm not encouraging it because I'm not necessarily in favor of that. Mm-hmm. But from a financial standpoint, it seems like previously part of the problem is they decided, let's promote to families. And the families got there and they realized, shit, mom and dad aren't gambling because they got to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. Well, now that gambling isn't as big of a factor, it still plays a part, obviously, but it's not as big as restaurants and all the other stuff. I'm wondering if we're going to see more of this kind of stuff.
I don't know. I just still think it's weird that so you've got regulations that if you're not 21, you cannot be on the casino floor. I mean, you can be, but you have to just pass through. You
keep moving. Lawyer. Nothing to see here.
And like, that itself is not family friendly.
Right.
And it's a pain in the ass for people.
To deal with all the...
People who don't know any better, who let their kids watch them gamble or try to encourage their kids to gamble because they're stupid.
So it certainly seemed like this would encourage more of that behavior just because you're going to have a bigger influx of families, at least during the day.
I mean, can you design things so that the gambling facilities are separate from the family facilities?
Yeah, I'm wondering how that's going to work too. And he did say this is, you know, part of the... He or one of his people said something about... When we looked at this, we wanted it to be a self-sufficient, standalone thing. Now, obviously, it's going to be connected to the hotels because you need your guests to be able to easily get there. Whether or not they're going to try to funnel people who aren't staying at the hotel to an exterior entrance and exit, I don't know. I don't know exactly how the flow of this thing is going to work. It's going to be interesting to watch play out, and I guess that's kind of why I'm a little bit excited about it.
I'm a little excited about it because it's something new and different.
For somebody who's actually able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And it's big. Yeah. It's a big, monstrous change, which is always fun to witness.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. So is this his response to the resort across the street?
That's what some people are wondering. If so, it seems like an odd response.
Yeah.
Because they're certainly not going family friendly or going after a beach market. But, you know, you wouldn't want to do the exact same thing. I don't know. Maybe timing is just right as far as when he wants to invest more in the city. Things are slowing down a little bit overseas. I don't know. I don't know, but
maybe he just wants to do something new again, and like
that certainly makes some sense given his age. Mm-hmm. You know, this is whatever this redevelopment is, and even if there's a little bit more redevelopment with additional hotels around the lake later on, for example, I've got to think this is it in Las Vegas for him.
Yeah, this is going to be his legacy.
Well, I think the whole thing will be his legacy, but this will be it.
Mirage, Golden Nugget, and Bellagio.
It's his swan song, so to speak, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like an odd thing for him to finish on, but I don't know. One other note that I wanted to mention, just because it does come up in discussions about this, and immediately when discussions on the Facebook group started about this, and I saw it in comments on some of the newspaper articles, people immediately start freaking out about a giant water feature given the drought in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, what's this going to do to Lake Mead? Lake Mead does not supply the water to this project.
Did he find an artesian well on his property?
Actually, yeah. He he discussed this. When he bought Desert Inn, he inherited, they had private water rights. Mm-hmm. They had their own water processing facility. And he got that as part of ownership when he purchased it. It grandfathered to him. So his golf course, which golf courses are huge users of water, he got all that when he bought that land, and that is what we'll continue to use. The same thing with Bellagio. That's the old Dunes golf course water rights that are used for the Bellagio fountain. So none of that comes from Lake Mead either. Mm-hmm. So people who are freaking out about water. And obviously, you know, they're still using water. It's just from their own private source. It's not changing anything from, it may even, in fact, use less than the golf course uses. So it's not going, Lake Mead's going to continue to go away on its own without the help of Steve. This
project.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think as far as just this overall thing and whether or not, so $25, go spend the day by the lake. How much of an interest, once this thing is built?
Well, I want to see it, so I'll go at least once.
Yeah. I don't see us, like, changing our vacation style. We're not really beach people anyway.
No.
But, yeah, I could see, I'd probably be more inclined to stay there and get the experience from that angle. And obviously, you're still going to pay admission, it sounds like. But as far as, like, if we're staying down the strip at Cromwell, I don't know. Like, am I really going to dedicate an entire day to go spend at the beach? For me personally, probably not. I do want to see it, though, so it'll be a one-and-done kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Unless they have special events there or something.
Yeah. But
they didn't really talk about that, where there's a draw because suddenly they're having, you know, dock and play on the island. So, yeah, I'm very curious to see it. I don't see myself spending a ton of time there, but I'm excited to watch the development and to see how this whole thing unfolds and how they incorporate it into the current plans. And I don't know, it's going to be, and what they've announced and how much that actually makes the final thing.
It'll be interesting to see how it progresses, like what changes, what gets left out, what gets left in.
Yeah. Which water sports are included.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're thinking like 10 to 15,000 people a day will come through here and pay 20 to, you know, $20 up. To hang out. So, and then you throw in all the restaurants and all that other stuff. They're going to make a shitload if they actually pull this off to the level they think they will. But just the hotel alone, that's going to make a ton. I don't know. I know the golf course is super expensive and exclusive and all that, but this is going to make more than the golf course, I've got to think.
Yeah.
Long term. So there you have it. They haven't really said when they're planning an opening. He's talking about really ramping up the project in the third quarter. So I would imagine probably 2018, maybe, not before then. They're kind of focused on the shopping center thing, which was announced a while ago. That's going in where the old Ferrari dealership was and a bunch of the strip-facing space. And that's going to open much sooner, like a little bit more than a year from now. I think fall of next year. So they talk about that a little bit too, but I wasn't too focused on the shopping stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that, as of right now, it's being referred to as Wynn Paradise Park. Whether or not that name sticks, who knows, but I don't know. They'll probably call the hotel Wynn Paradise, I would imagine. What will they have as far as the scripty stuff on top? Oh, they didn't really have the swirly, the curve, though, so there's no...
No.
I don't know. There are renderings if you want to look at them. Actually, I recommend going to Vegas Tripping because Chuck did a really nice analysis. Mm-hmm. I looked at the rendering. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Chuck goes in there with the fucking magnifying glass. He's zooming in on specific things. He's like, look, there are three pools right there. Mm-hmm. He's got it all broken down. So take a look. And they have said the renderings are very preliminary and they will change as far as the positioning of some of the things.
Yeah.
But as far as their general plan, you can kind of see what they're thinking. And
Chuck has some good arguments about what's not going to work about it at the very end, too.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good analysis. I liked it a lot. So I will link to that in the show notes as well. And I was kind of excited to get some big Vegas news.
Oh, the other thing is that none of the major...
Oh, yeah, what the hell?
...outlets were...
That was bizarre. Chuck and I were live tweeting it because he was listening at the same time. And we were like, oh, my God, I'm going to shoot myself because this call is so crazy and kind of hard to listen to at moments. And then the good stuff finally came. But I did a search on Twitter for Wynn just to see what other people were saying, like maybe some of the reporters that I don't follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was covering it. Like, really?
Really? This is major news.
This is a huge – like for him to even say we're having an investor day – something they don't do, you would think they would have their business reporters. One of them was covering an e-gaming session at some conference that like Seth Shore from Downtown Grand was talking about, the future of e-gaming. So the guy from Las Vegas Sun was there. And then the person from the review, all the review journal people were covering traffic for the fucking arena because it was opening night of the arena.
Is this Sheldon's doing?
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. The review journal, so then, like, the next day, it was seriously, like, the next morning, all of a sudden, one of the guys from the review... Well, Las Vegas Sun put something up overnight. And then the Review Journal was working on something the next morning, and they're, like, they have, like, three paragraphs, and they're tweeting it out as breaking news. It's like, this happened, like, 18 hours ago. What are you talking about? And it sounded like they wrote all their entire article off of an investor advisory from... JP Morgan or somebody.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know if they've finally went back and listened to the call or what, but it was very unusual. Kind of dropped the ball on that one. It's not that hard. Anybody could listen to this thing. It was advanced publicity that it was going to happen. And I don't know. But that's the Vegas media puzzles me on a daily basis. I swear to God.
Yeah.
But you would think this is just an easy one.
Right.
Nope. I don't know. All righty. So that's the big news this week. We've got a bunch of trip stuff to talk about, but first.
Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. Let's talk about our friends at Viator. We love them. I'm so happy with Viator. They're so nice to us. They gave us the Casa de Shenandoah passes, and we had such a great time.
Yes.
So Viator offers, if you're not, you know, you hear us talk about Viator, and we talk about all the great stuff, but you know, what specifically is Viator? Somebody asked me that. They're like, I don't get what exactly does Viator do? Very simple. They sell tours, attractions, shows, activities, adventures, not just in Las Vegas, but all over the world. If you're going on vacation and you want to buy passes for or arrange a tour or buy tickets for something, Viator can hook you up. Now you're thinking, but I could just go directly to the show
venue,
whatever. You could, but Viator, there are a bunch of different reasons to go through Viator. First of all, they handpick all their tours and activities. They don't just deal with absolutely everybody who's out there. They vet them. They make sure that they're reputable. They only work with really good operators. So there's kind of a little bit of reassurance that it's not somebody who's going to fold up most likely in the next week after. And you know what? And if they did, Viator would take care of you because they have a guarantee on everything. Yep. But The other thing is there are thousands of reviews and photos from customers like you on their site, so you can see what other people are into, which makes it really convenient. And you can do it all in one place. You don't have to go to, you know, half a dozen different tour operators and venues and show producers and all that stuff to look for stuff. As I mentioned, they also have a low price guarantee, so you know you're getting the best deal possible. Great customer service. They've got live support around the clock by email and phone. They make booking really easy. You can do it on your computer or your mobile device. Plus, they love us, and we love them for it. So, you know, if you want to support our sponsors, Viator is the place to go. Viator.com is the website. Download their iOS and Android apps. If you're going to book something through the website, click on 5hundybymidnight.com first. Go to the banner in the upper right-hand corner, kind of, on the right-hand side, somewhere over there. You know, the one that says Viator. Click on that, and we get extra credit points from Viator, and it tells them their sponsorship is paying off. So, thank you to all of you for using Viator, and I know many of you have. And thanks to Viator for continuing to sponsor our show. We do appreciate it. Okay, so we've got a butt ton of trip report
stuff. Is it a metric butt ton?
It is a metric butt ton. So I, any specific way you'd like to attack these? I didn't put them any specific order in our notes. I just kind of...
Oh, let's just go through them the way you have them.
And should we just start doing some restaurant stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, is a ton metric anyway, so is that redundant?
I don't know. What do I look like, a fucking scientist?
That's the second time you've said you're not a scientist.
Damn it, Jim. I'm not. Yeah. Okay, so restaurants. And these are from our last two trips, since our trips are kind of close together.
We're just going to pile it all into one.
I'm going to consider it one long trip with a hiatus in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of a break. And we'll just talk about it all together. So one of the restaurants that we had been meaning to try out that we finally got around to, well, not finally, it hasn't been open that long, but downtown on 6th and Carson, there is a sandwich shop called Zydeco Po' Boys. Well, it's not just sandwiches, but that's kind of the main thing. Po' Boy sandwiches. I don't even like saying po' boy.
Yeah.
It just sounds like I can't pull that off. You can only pull that off if you're from Louisiana, and it mm-hmm. sounds like you've got that. I can't even pretend to do that, but you've got that po' boy. It doesn't...
Mm, you need a little Cajun in there.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You need to call up Rue from Dundalus and Beyond and have him say it.
Yeah, he can kind of pull it off, but yeah. I can't. So we went there and wanted to check out the restaurant because I'd been looking at the menu online and everything looked delicious. So it's one of those restaurants where you order at the counter and they bring the food out to you. And it's not a very big space. And... Well, first of all, okay, so let's talk about what we ordered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think this is on their normal menu. It was a special.
The thing of the day.
I think that's exactly what they called it, the thing of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a muffaletta sandwich.
Who are you, Neve? Neve from Catfish.
Oh, yeah.
We have an ongoing joke about how he cannot say his name without pausing dramatically.
Because I think he's embarrassed by his name. I think he hates his parents secretly, and every time he says his name, he's reminded of it. He goes, this is Neve. Anyway, so yes, the muffaletta po' boy. I can't say that. And yet I keep saying it.
Sandwich.
The muffaletta sandwich. It was $8.75. And then we all, I also ordered an order of dirty Cajun fries for $5.50, which were French fries with Cajun sausage, caramelized onions, provolone. Those were delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And bottled waters were $2 each, which we were drinking. But
they also had beer.
They did. I've noticed a trend, by the way, on this most recent couple trips.
Yeah.
That most of
buns? You've noticed man buns?
We'll talk about that in a minute. Most of the restaurants we ate at, we just had water this time.
Huh.
We were usually in a cooling down mode.
Need to take a break from the alcohol.
Couple exceptions, but overall, yeah, we didn't spend a lot on drinks at restaurants, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Brings the bill down a little bit.
So as I mentioned, this restaurant is pretty small, totally uncomfortable seating. You're not going to want to spend a lot of time there. They just have these little stools, like without backs, and they're mm-hmm. like super. I found them to be very uncomfortable. I don't know, maybe it's because I've got a big ass, but I was just not. I didn't want to hang out there very long. Just like shove the food down my throat and get out of here. What was your impression of the food?
The food was good. The sandwich was good, but the Cajun fries were very good.
Yeah, I like the Cajun fries better. I thought the sandwich was good,
too. It was good. It was filling. No complaints, but nothing I'm going to dream about.
Exactly. So I'm wondering if we decide to go back, and that's still kind of a big if.
Something off the main menu.
Jambalaya or something like that. instead of maybe even one of the sandwiches. I don't know. But I'm kind of, at this point, I'm kind of like, well, we tried it. It was decent.
It was okay.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. Yeah. It was just good.
Yeah.
I don't see myself going, oh, let's go over there again.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suspect we probably won't be going back.
Unless we had a major craving for one of the dishes. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But it was good if, you know, if you've looked at their website, which is at zydecopo-boys.com, and you've thought, that looks kind of good, it probably will be good. You know, if that kind of food appeals to you. I liked it. I just wasn't like, oh my God, that was the greatest sandwich I've ever had. So anyway, anything else to say on that place?
Nope.
All right. Should we talk about steakhouses?
Yes. Let's talk about meat.
During our...
Different kinds of meat.
During our trips...
I like meat.
We tried two different steakhouses we had not been to before, both of them downtown Las Vegas, and we've been meaning to go to both these for a long time, so I was glad that we were able to fit them both in.
Yeah.
Again, one of the benefits of having two trips, because during one trip, we probably wouldn't...
Have done two steakhouses.
Yeah. So the first one is Vic and Anthony's, which is at Golden Nugget. And we've been hearing great things about this place for a long, long time. And this was a spur-of-the-moment decision. We were just trying to figure out, what do we want to eat? I don't know. We couldn't come up with anything. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah, we walked by... oh, God. What's the place by the Rush Tower check-in?
Chart House,
yeah. Yep.
We wanted something a little more substantial than their appetizer menu. Although I think they have steaks and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard as much about that place as Vic and Anthony's. Yeah.
And we wanted more than sushi.
Yeah. So you suggested Vic and Anthony's, and I'm like, well, we don't have a reservation, but let's go see if we can get in at the bar since it's really early. And fortunately enough, we got bar seating.
Yeah. We went right when they open at 5.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday night, so I'm glad we went in right when they opened because it filled up pretty fast.
It did, and the bar was busy from the time shortly after we got there till when we left.
Yeah.
So that was fine. I don't think I've ever done bar seating at a steakhouse. Have we? I mean, other than, well, Triple George, but that's kind of a different. That's a much bigger. That's not purely a steakhouse. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I thought
we've done Oscar's bar seating.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. See, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my ass. but the bartenders were fantastic. Yes. It was a very small bar, too. It was probably like, what, 8 seats maybe?
Mm-hmm. They had a few seats right at the bar, and then there was another area right behind us.
Counter behind it, which got kind of crowded because then there were people waiting for their table, and they were hanging out there having drinks. And
it did get a little crowded. I think next time, if we were to go, I would get a table.
Which that is kind of typical of a steakhouse bar. A lot of times people are having a drink before they get their table, so they're milling about. And
it was pretty busy because it was the Friday of March Madness, so.
Yeah. So we ordered, I believe an 8-ounce filet.
Mm-hmm.
You had
the salmon stuffed with crab, which was delicious.
And then we had two sides, mac and cheese and onion strings.
I could not stop eating the onion strings.
I know, the onion strings were so good. Mac and cheese was really good too, but.
Both were, yeah.
I loved it. My filet was perfectly prepared and.
Yeah, my fish was delicious and. What did you have to drink? I had some sort of strawberry basil thing that was delicious.
I think I had a smash of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really well done, too. Everything was good. We had a couple drinks. Did we have two drinks each? I was trying to remember that because I didn't have an itemized receipt on this one. So.
Yeah, I can't remember if I had two or just the one.
Yeah, I'm not positive. Maybe we just had one.
I think I just had the one.
Well, for all of the food that we had, the two entrees, the two sides, we did not do salads or appetizers, which is a good thing because we would have been unable to walk afterwards. Yeah. And a couple drinks. It ended up being $170 all told with, you know, taxes and all that. And I think tip is on top of that. Yeah. So typical steakhouse prices, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely eat there again.
I would too.
Either at the bar or... You know, with a reservation, regular seating.
If I were to eat at the bar, I would go not on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling it might get like that.
Might get like that any night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good. I enjoyed it a great deal. And, you know, it's one more restaurant downtown now on the list of things to possibly do. That list is growing every trip, it seems like.
No kidding.
So the other steakhouse that we tried was Hugo Cellar at Four Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been hearing about this forever. And the thing that's prevented us from going in the past is, like, we knew based on other restaurants like this that we've been to, That you walk out of there a lot of times just stuffed. Mm-hmm. And
you don't want to do anything else and you go into a meat coma.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's just go to bed.
Yeah.
And we hate doing that because, you know, you don't want to turn in early when you have a whole night of Vegas-y fun ahead of you. Mm-hmm. But we ended up doing it. We decided, okay, we're just not going to stuff ourselves.
Right.
And let's see how this goes. So, and part of the reason we went is when I was playing video poker at the Four Queens Bar, I realized when I put my slot card in that it said I had $150 in comps. I'm like, oh, hey, we can probably eat, you know, almost free if we take advantage of that. And sure enough, that worked out very, very well.
Yeah.
So this is like an old school steakhouse where it's like...
You've got a pit crew.
Yeah. Yeah, we had two waiters assigned to us, and it was just like this really... Oh, first of all, you walk in and the ladies get a rose. Mm-hmm. It's down a few steps in this dark, in the dark basement. Very, very nice.
And we had thought about eating at the bar there, but I'm glad we didn't because...
Six seats,
and it's more of a get a drink at the bar and then go eat.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss the full experience, which we will describe shortly.
I wouldn't recommend eating at the bar here. I would recommend getting. And luckily, we initially were going to do that, and then I pulled up Open Table, and they had an early reservation available. So that made the decision for us, which was good. So we started out ordering. We decided we were going to order a couple martinis.
Yep.
And the martinis were like, you only needed one martini.
Yeah.
Because the one martini was four martinis.
Mm-hmm. So they bring you the martini, and then they bring a little carafe in a bucket of ice. And
I love when steakhouses do that. And a lot of them don't. But, you know, again, old school.
And a lot
cool
of them,
ass.
A lot of them will bring you the drink, and then you'll have enough for one more.
This was four.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot.
I did not drink all four,
for the
record.
I
wanted to be able to walk.
My restraint was not finishing yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my restraint.
Wow.
I know.
It was delicious, though. It was mixed exactly the way I wanted it. A little dirty.
Yep. Bread bowl consisted of a couple different rolls and some...
multigrain rolls, white rolls, and then this crispy, delicious stuff.
The crackery bread kind of stuff. Yeah. That was very good. And then the fun part begins. So we ordered...
I'm in love with the salad cart.
Yes, the salad wagon is a fun, fun experience. So the waiter rolls the salad cart up to your table.
It's a mobile salad bar.
And he's got a big bowl of lettuce, and he makes individual salads for you. And he goes through each of the items on the salad cart, and you get to say yes or no. So do you remember all of the items?
I remember a lot of the items. So there were three dressings. There was peppercorn ranch, Caesar, and their house honey
some kind of vinaigrette. Yeah.
I got the Caesar, you got the peppercorn, right?
This is correct.
Okay.
And it wasn't, and as far as like peppercorn ranch dressings go, it wasn't super heavy, which was kind of nice.
And the Caesar had actual anchovies in it, which might freak some people out, but it was delicious.
That's what Caesar dressing is, so.
I mean, sometimes they're ground up a little more than the, it wasn't like there were chunks or anything. It was good.
Okay.
I'm trying to describe it as appetizing, but the more I talk, the more, yeah. There were anchovy fish heads in it. No, it was good.
So the items on the salad wagon, as you remember
Let's
them.
See. So they scoop up the lettuce, ask you your dressing. They mix it up.
Yep.
And then, let's see, baby shrimp.
There's one before that.
Tomatoes.
Fresh tomatoes.
Oh, you're going in order?
That's how I remember it.
Oh, Jesus. Well, then why don't you just
I don't remember them all in order. I just remember that was the first one.
Okay, tomatoes, baby shrimp, croutons, pine nuts. Mushrooms, no thank you.
Artichoke hearts and hearts of palm.
Uh-huh.
Sweet red tomatoes. Sweet red onions.
Yes. They have cucumbers or not?
I don't think so.
Yeah. They had
I'm forgetting now.
A few ingredients.
It was all delicious. There were like probably 10 things
you
could have on there. Then they poured a little bit more dressing on, presented it to you, and it was the most delicious salad ever made.
So you could have blue cheese, and then
blue cheese crumbles.
You could also get Parmesan and pepper at the end.
Yes. Anyway, it was fun.
I had all the cheese.
It was fun having them whip up the salad table side, and it was just wonderful.
And the guy who has been there.
Long time.
Yeah. Really nice.
Michael.
Yes.
Yes. And then after salads, we got a little tiny little
sorbet.
I always say tiny little, like redundant. Yes. A little ice cream cone with some lemon sorbet to cleanse mm-hmm. our palates mm-hmm. because we're classy. It's funny having a tiny ice cream cone.
Yeah.
And then we weren't sure if we should eat the cones or just have the sorbet.
Just had the sorbet.
Me too.
Yeah.
The tiny ice cream cone was confusing. Because I thought
the cone is going to... It's going to take away the effect of the sorbet.
It's going to uncleanse the palate. And that's not what you want to do.
Right. It's just a carrier for the sorbet.
It is. So your entree was?
It was a celebration of scallops.
Did you feel like celebrating?
I did. It was good. I liked it.
I had a 5-ounce filet and shrimp. Mm-hmm. 5 ounces is very small for a filet, but given that there were, I don't know if there were like probably 6 shrimp, and they were fairly good size,
yeah,
it was a good amount of food. If I had like an 8-ounce filet with shrimp, it would have been too much.
Yeah.
So I was pleased with this.
Pure seafood, because I thought if I have a filet, I'm going to be really, really tired and full.
And I thought I would be too if I had anything more than what I did.
Yeah.
And they had, a nice variety of meat offerings mm-hmm. of steaks. Even a lot of times they'll just have like either a small filet or a large filet. They had like different preparations and all kinds of stuff.
They had one that had, was it 2 5-ounce filets?
Yes.
And you could split. You had to pay extra for your salad and your sides.
But yeah.
They did offer the option to split. So I would possibly be interested in doing that.
Yeah, me too. This also,
as long as I got the salad.
So the meal, the salad is included with the entrees. And then the they also include veggies and a choice of either garlic mashed potatoes, roasted red. Mm-hmm. Did I say tomatoes? I meant potatoes.
You said potatoes.
Okay. Mashed tomatoes. garlic mashed potatoes, roasted red potatoes, or wild rice. And we both went with the garlic mash.
They were delicious.
They were very good.
They were so good.
So that's all included too. Now, a lot of steakhouses, everything is a la carte, and they include a lot of stuff with your meal on this one.
Yeah. Those garlic mash were possibly the best ones I've had.
They're very, very good.
Yeah.
And then at the end of your meal, they bring out a little plate that had two strawberry dip, or yes. chocolate dipped strawberries. What were the other things? Figs and apricots or something?
Yeah. I wasn't touching the figs.
Good to know. All told, our meal was just under $150. Our comps covered it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up eating the whole thing free, and it would have been worth it if we were paying for it.
Yes, it would have.
My advice is don't get an appetizer and don't get dessert, because you're going to get stuffed on
the dessert
food
tray.
You order.
Looked good.
It did look really good.
Yeah, but
that's something I would go to the bar for.
The strawberries were huge.
They
too.
Were.
That was, oh, yeah.
It was a great experience. It was one of those,
yeah, the
like,
service was outstanding.
Just fun Vegas-y experiences. And yeah. I know people always recommend this for like a romantic, you know, anniversary evening or something.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely be great for this.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have something like that, just go. And it's a really kind of a fun mm-hmm. experience regardless
and
of
I
that.
And I liked how the rose motif carried through. Like the Tiffany lamps had roses in them, and the menu had a rose design, and then the butter was in the shape of a rose. And
it's true.
Yeah.
There are roses everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was...
And I liked the decor. It was... It wasn't anything like super outstanding, but it was just very old school...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. I just enjoyed the experience. The food was very good.
I like the atmosphere.
The other thing is, too, this place kind of gets a rap for being overpriced, but given the amount of food you get,
no.
I didn't think it was overpriced at all.
Uh-uh.
I thought it was like right on target of what I would have expected to pay for something like this. Everything was prepared well. I enjoyed my steak.
Well, if you compare it to Vic and Anthony's, I felt that we got more food for less money at Hugo's.
I agree. And the experience, even though I loved Vic and Anthony's, this was more of a, because the whole, like, people kind of fawning over you and stuff.
Right. Never letting your water glass get below 3/4 full.
Let's be honest. It's all about the salad wagon. Yeah. So, great, great fun. Highly recommended. We will go back.
Yes, we will.
What an odd, kind of an odd thing for Four Queens. Like, Four Queens is, you know, it's kind of a...
It's a mid-range, like Magnolia's fine coffee shop. Nothing exciting there. They've got the pizza place.
Which that's decent.
It's okay.
But then you've got Hugo Cellar, which is this little gem down in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? Well, we knew.
I think I'd always been a little intimidated by it, too, because I thought it would be...
Fancier?
Yeah. But it's.
I did put on pants.
You did put on pants.
I put
pants.
On jeans. So you can go, you can be. Mm-hmm. Most people there were like, for like guys, it was like polo shirt and some people had Dockers or jeans. It wasn't super fancy.
Yeah.
It's typical Vegas. People are wearing whatever, but mm-hmm. I felt I would at least not wear shorts.
Uh-huh.
Although I could have. I think other people were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, great time.
Glad we finally did it and would do it again.
We should probably get to some phone calls. Should we hold off on the rest of this stuff, or do you want to talk about, like, one more thing?
Can we talk about the Rush Tower really quick?
Let's. So, our accommodations for these trips, the first trip we stayed, we split our stay between the Cromwell for two nights on the Strip, and then we moved downtown to Golden Gate Suite, which we mm-hmm. love. You know, we've stayed at both these before. There's probably not a lot to say about them. But then this most recent trip, we booked a room in the Golden Nugget Rush Tower. And we'd stayed there once, and it was a long time ago. I can't even remember what year, but it was...
It was a while ago.
It was a while ago. And I was kind of curious to see how the rooms were holding up.
I want to say like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
I can't remember when the Rush Tower was built, but...
It was shortly after that.
Yeah.
The rooms held up very nicely.
Yeah, they did. And they put padding on the bed corners.
That was one of your complaints last time, that like the edges of the bed stuck out and were ripe for some shin damage.
But I managed to bruise myself getting into the shower.
Because it's a
shower tub combo, and it's got this metal thing that sticks up from the tub. And
oh, that's unfortunate.
Yep. It's fading now, see?
Oh, that's good. Our room rate was roughly... It varied by night because there were some weekend nights and some weeknights. It ended up being about $125 a night, including tax and resort fees. So our first experience was check-in, and we mm-hmm. got in late. Our flight arrived, I don't know, like 11. By the time we got to the hotel, it was 11:30-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And Rush Tower has its own check-in desk, which is great. You can get dropped off right there. It's kind of one of the benefits of staying in the Rush Tower. You don't have to deal with the long lines. It's a little bit more, you know, private.
Caveat, it's one of the benefits if the goddamn check-in is open.
Yeah, so we got dropped off, and immediately when we got out of the car, the doorman was like, are you staying here? Like, oh, they closed the desk at 11, so you got to go around to the Carson Tower check-in, which we get there, and there's like a dozen people in line ahead mm-hmm. of us, and it was moving so slowly.
Yes, there was some fucking high-maintenance asshole who was...
he was there for a long time.
Yeah, like he was... Everyone else moved through the line, and he was still there.
I get the feeling it was either one of those. It was like, I didn't know I had to put down a deposit for room stuff. I don't have a credit card. I think it was one of those deals.
Yeah.
Annoying. So anyway, we eventually got up to the front of the line, and the only thing noteworthy about the check-in process was when we were checking in, the clerk said, I have to run him back and have my manager okay this room. And I'm like, sweet.
Are we getting an upgrade?
That'd I know.
Awesome.
And we didn't do the $20 thing. No, we weren't trying to get an upgrade. But usually if you have to have the room
approved, it means something better than what you.
So maybe she went back there and to have it approved and they're like, no, give them the standard. I don't know.
That could be.
And it was a nice room, but it was your standard Rush Tower room.
Yeah. We keep walking. We're like, please be the one at the end of the hall. Nope.
Right next to the end of the hall.
Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah, I like the Rush Tower rooms. I still would. I'd stay there again. They held up very nicely. They didn't show a lot of wear, considering that they've been open for a while now.
Plenty of room, a nice lounging couch. Bathroom is large, two sinks.
So kind of pros and cons that I came up with.
Yeah.
The room was not noisy, which a lot of the hotels on Fremont Street are.
Uh-huh.
This because Rush Tower said back.
Yeah, you're not overlooking the canopy.
Yeah, there was no noise at all. I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything?
I could hear the rooms next door a little bit.
Okay. Nothing from outside, though.
Nothing from outside.
It wasn't pitch black in there. Like,
mm-hmm.
no, you're smart. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
You always bring clothespins to close off the curtains mm-hmm. with, which is a brilliant move to keep the light out. But the problem is the... curtains didn't wrap all the way around to the edges.
Yeah, so you had
light coming from the sides.
Right.
And that it wasn't horrible, but I kind of like having the pitch black room.
Uh-huh.
It's conducive to day sleeping when you need to sleep in, which we did.
Oh my god, yeah.
The water pressure was fantastic. In fact, this toilet, I have never seen a toilet in a Las Vegas hotel room that had this kind of water pressure.
And how do you know this?
Well, you flushed the toilet a couple times. every time I used it.
Were there some scientific...
No, but you can tell when you flush a toilet how the water pressure is. Uh-huh. And this thing, I swear to God, you could lose a limb if you were like... I don't know why you'd be leaning in, but if you had an arm down... this thing was a powerful... So anyway,
you had the misfortune of your meal coming up again and you decided to flush. Well, that would be a bad idea.
You don't want to have your head in the toilet and be like yakking while you flush because you could lose your head. Mm-hmm. It was super strong pressure. So that was great. The downside in the bathroom was no shower gel.
Yeah.
What year is this? 1977? I don't want a fucking bar of soap. If you're presented with a bar of soap and a little tube of shower gel.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go for the gel.
Everybody is. It's easier.
Unless the soap smells so phenomenal.
You're not going with a bar of soap. It's a pain in the ass. Got to get it all lathery. Shower gel, you just splash on. It's fantastic. I'm a big fan of the shower gel. But they didn't have any in the room, which surprised me. So Tillman Fertitta on that shitty billion-dollar buyer show, find some artisanal, handcrafted shower gel manufacturer and...
And get them hooked up with the
get a nugget. Few tubes of that shit. That's what I'm saying.
You could have used shampoo.
Yeah, I could have. That's always a little greasy when you try to use it as a shower gel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another minor critique with the room. I like that they had, on the desk, they had a bunch of plugins.
Yeah.
Places where you could plug in your phone. They had a bunch of outlets and USB plugins. The problem was they were over on the desk and not, there weren't any near the bed.
Yeah, that would... I like having my phone right by the bed, so if I Me wake too. Up, I can check what time it is without having to like crane my neck to see the alarm clock.
And that came into play because the alarm clock...
Yeah, it did.
The morning we were leaving, we had to set an alarm because we had a fairly early flight. I didn't use the alarm clock in the room for setting the alarm. I used my phone, which is a good idea, because sometime in the middle of the night, the alarm clock, the iHome alarm clock decided that it was January 1st, and it reset, reset the time and the date... And it led to great confusion when my phone alarm went off at 7 o'clock, but the alarm next to me said 5 o'clock.
Uh-huh. You're like, do I have 2 extra hours to sleep or what?
Well, that fucked me up because I had woken up like half an hour earlier and I'm like, oh, I got 2.5 hours left to sleep.
Oh,
and then the alarm went off and I'm like, no, what happened? And I went and checked my phone, which of course involved getting out of bed because it's on the other side of the room.
Right.
And I'm like, well, did the application I use for the alarm...
Is it
a different time zone? Is it?
Yeah.
So I was completely puzzled. And then I checked your phone and the times matched. And I was very sad because I didn't get to sleep anymore. Mm-hmm. Despite these things, I did enjoy staying at Golden Nugget and I enjoyed the room.
Yeah.
A few little, minor quibbles, I guess. But overall, I thought it was a good experience.
Oh, the checkout was also closed when we left, too. Luckily, we could check out through the TV.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like you really need to, you can have one person there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a downer that it wasn't open all the time. So if you're going to have a separate check-in, have it be open all the time.
Yes.
Seems like it should be kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Since you're making it a thing, that you have private check-in, then it needs to be open.
Uh-huh.
Not even really private. It's just separate.
Or at least have it open till, I don't know, like midnight or 1.
Until after we get there is what you're saying.
Until after we get there,
Yes.
But Vegas stuff tends to be open a little bit later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I thought it was strange.
Yeah.
So overall, I don't know. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah? You want to stay there again?
Yeah, but I don't know. Probably not for a while.
I like the location, too, although, downtown, everything's close together.
Yeah. But, I liked the fact that you could just go out the Rush Tower and then be over at the Golden Gate.
I know. I showed you my super secret back way that I discovered when we were staying at Golden Gate for VIMF, mm-hmm. and I needed to run to Golden Nugget for printing show notes.
Yeah.
Because they have a business center there.
Oh.
So, yep, quick and
easy.
The
other thing we both really liked, although you took advantage of it more than I did, was the convenience store right at the bottom of the elevator.
Ah, yes, a little sundry shop, which was great for
coconut water.
Yes, hangover. We didn't have, neither of us had really had a single hangover, did
nope.
we? And that was part of the reason.
Yeah.
That first night when that first morning when I rolled in at 4, I swung by the sundry shop and I just was going to get water and I saw coconut water and Powerade. They had like a whole hangover shelf. It was wonderful. And they were $5 each, but well worth it. Mm-hmm. I bought two of them, slammed one before bed, one in the morning. So anyway, that worked out really well, and it was very convenient. And
yeah.
I will, yes, I think we'll stay at Golden Nugget again. Probably yeah. not like super soon, but, mm-hmm.
but
it's a good option.
A few years or something.
Yes, it met my expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, there were pros and cons, but I think the pros outweighed the cons.
Yeah. All righty. So we've got a bunch more reviews we'll get to in the coming weeks, but we should probably start hammering through a few of our phone calls because we've got weeks and weeks worth of phone calls here.
Okay.
Let's do the Amazon thing first. This week's Amazon, since we just mentioned hangovers, this week's Amazon.com listener purchase of the week is Blowfish for Hangovers. It's some sort of a tablet that you can take to prevent hangovers.
Hmm.
I don't know why the name is Blowfish.
Huh.
It's not made of actual blowfish, to the best of my knowledge. Anyway, it was 12 tablets for $12. I will link to it in the show notes as our listener purchase of the week. If you are going to buy something on Amazon, if you click through our link at 500bymidnight.com, we get a small commission, and it's an easy way for you to help support the show. So thank you to everybody who's been clicking through that. It does make a big difference. And thank you to whoever bought the hangover cure. I appreciate it. I see a lot of hangover cure purchases on our Amazon link. I think different things work for different people.
Mm-hmm.
We've found that coconut water is especially useful for us. But I'm always kind of like, maybe I should try that too.
Mm-hmm.
Or instead. But then I'm worried if it doesn't work, then I could have just had coconut water and all would have been solved.
Yep.
So find the solution that works for you and stick with it is what I say. Okay. Phone calls. Again, a bunch of these are going to be from a few weeks ago because it's been a while since we've taken calls. So if any of these are dated, I apologize. But let's start off with this gentleman.
Hey, what's up, 500? It's Wendell from Denton, Texas, part of the DDB crew. And I called in a few weeks ago telling you I was going to go to Vegas and stay at the Mirage. And I just got back a few days ago. And I used some of the tips y'all gave me. Y'all are right, man. That is a great location. You're right in the middle of the strip, so you can go north and, south easily. So I enjoyed it. I did pretty good. I hit a lot on video poker and blackjack. And I hit the downtown also. And I went to Atomic. And there's a new bar next to El Cortez that was pretty cool. And I hit the D and Golden Gate. And one of the guys that was with me had never been to Vegas before, so I tried to show him, downtown and the strip. And I was going to say about this this new game or side game of blackjack. It's called Blackjack Free Bet. And the difference is the dealer will pay for your double downs. They will pay for your splits. And even if you, split something and then you wanted a double down on that split, the dealer would pay it again. So at some point, say you're betting $10, $20, you would have $80 on the table, but only 20 of it was really yours. So it's possible to win a lot off that, which we were. The only bad thing, and it is a bad thing, is if the dealer hits 22, it's a push. So nobody loses, nobody wins. So that kind of sucked. We were at the D, and we hit 8 winning hands, and the dealer hit a 22, and it pushed 8 times in a row, so that was kind of crappy. But for the most part, when we were playing at the Mirage, we were up hundreds playing that. And it was just fun, too, because, it just changed it up. So we had a great time. Thanks for the advice. And I booked my room at the D for Vimp already, so I'll see you in October.
All right. We look forward to seeing you there once again. There's so many variations on blackjack now with all these different little carnival game side rules and stuff. I can't keep them straight. But wizardofodds.com is the place to go if you're interested in that or any other specific rule variation on blackjack that you might see in the casinos. I did look at that. It looks like there's a slightly different strategy that you want to play on that. And the house edge is a little bit over 1%. So keep that in mind. But, like any of these games, if you hit a good streak, you never know. Because you can play like Let It Ride, which has shitty odds, but, you end up getting a couple good hands and suddenly you're making a ton of money. I don't know. I haven't been playing too much of those.
Yeah, I didn't play blackjack at all the last couple trips, which surprised me because...
Free t-shirts for March Madness and St. Patrick's Day, but we didn't do that this year. All righty. I think I botched this next call, so we're skipping that one. Let's check in with Paul.
Hey, 500. This is Paul from L.A. I'm on a 9-day trip to Vegas for vacation, and I learned that I'm about halfway through, and 9 days is too much Vegas. I usually break it up into 4 days, and that's just about right. I did have dinner at Picasso at the Bellagio. It was pricey, but I was splashing out on that day. The service was good. Food was good, but not phenomenal. Probably, if you wanted to get a view of the fountains, that would be a decent place to do it and get a good meal. Also, I had a steak and scampi at the Golden Steer. Old time. It looks kind of like a strip mall restaurant, but the interior is dark, but has a lot of character. And the steak was good, but the scampi was great. And I ended up winning some money at the video poker, so that worked out. So that's my report for restaurants. I'll call back for my hotel impressions. Thanks for the good work. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that report. We've heard good things about Golden Steer. Mm-hmm. I think it's located not far from SLS.
Yeah.
All righty. So he mentioned he had a 9-day trip. We had our first trip was 7 nights. Which was longer than we usually go, but it's mm-hmm. just how things worked out with flight times. And
yeah. Now the first night was really short, though.
Yeah, we got in and went right to bed because it was late and we were wiped out. And mm-hmm.
We drank all we could on the plane.
That too. So what did you think? And then the second one was 4 nights. So
they were two different trips, though. I mean, just as far as what we did and I don't know.
We took it a lot slower during the first trip than we normally do, knowing we were there for so long. Which I think was a smart idea, mm-hmm. and doing the whole Casa de Shenandoah thing, which took half of a day, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 hours, but plus transportation, it's a little bit longer. I think we did very well on pacing for a trip that long.
Yeah, both with alcohol and with gambling.
Yeah, yeah. I still am more in favor of the probably 5 to 6 day trip. For most,
I think I am too. Yeah,
because the second one. I think if the second one hadn't been so close to the first one and it was only 4 nights, mm-hmm. especially because, again, we got in late on that first night and we left early the day, I think it would have been too short for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's part of the reason I'm already like...
jonesing to go back.
I didn't completely get out of my system, which is ridiculous because we were there for 12 nights in the course of 3 weeks.
Yeah, I caught a gambling bug and...
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God.
You were more into the gambling than I was this trip.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
I don't know. It was kind of fun to watch.
And it didn't go particularly twitchy.
And it didn't go particularly well for either of us.
Because usually if I lose right away, I'll get crabby and be like, all right, enough of this. Let's go.
Fuck this shit. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah. Let's go drink somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I think I have a double bonus problem.
It's a fun game.
It is.
All right, let's move along.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, it's Jason from Dayton, Ohio. Just ran into Tim at the video poker little area. Good running into you.
Likewise.
Having a blast on St. Patty's Day. We're downtown, obviously, at the D. We were at the Mandalay Bay. We stopped by there yesterday. Went to Raria, some Irish place there. Never been there. I've never heard anybody give a review. That place is awesome. I got the meatloaf burger. Yeah, it was good. Fish and chips look good also. Then we nudged down to SLS because we wanted to go to a casino that was not busy. That place was not busy. Kind of like downtown Graham here, but it's kind of busy today because Hogs and Heifers had like a block party. And that place is cool too. It gets you really fucked up. And it's nighttime. That's a good thing. Being from Ohio, it's 3 hours difference. We're normally passed up about 7 here. So love the show. Love you all. And keep on keeping on, guys. See ya.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you for your drunken report. We appreciate mm-hmm. it. It was lovely to run into you. I didn't bother putting together a grand list of all the people that we ran into in these last two trips because there was just a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to leave people out, especially with the second trip where people were there for the live event.
Yeah.
But to everybody that we had a chance to say hello to and chat with a little bit, thank you. I really like it when people introduce themselves and mm-hmm. say hello. And it was really nice to meet you all. So thank you for doing that. And it was in a variety of different, some, like that. I think I was playing video poker upstairs at the D, and then yeah. we had people that found us at Long Bar where we were mm-hmm. often perched in the evening. And then, you know, just a variety of other things where people just saw us out and about. So mm-hmm. thank you to everybody for saying hello, and it was nice to see you all. Alrighty. Let's see. I'm kind of jumping.
Did you want to talk about Rira really quick? Rira in Mandalay Place?
What about it?
Great place. They have good whiskey.
It's true. They do. If you're looking for a good Irish pub,
yep.
that one and Nine Fine Irishmen at New York, New York are both solid.
Yes.
Although we were walking past Rira during our first trip, and they had a, wasn't there like a reggae group in there? Oh. Like the night before St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Now somebody's going to send me this long detailed explanation of why that was appropriate. I don't want to know. We kept walking. We weren't planning on stopping there anyway, but
no,
it just seemed like, wouldn't you have like just traditional Irish band that whole week? I would think. I don't know. Maybe it was just one song. Maybe it was like a, you know, an Irish band, and they decided, let's just throw down a
reggae song,
a Marley song for anybody who's into that. And they probably did
you
a Buffett song.
We're not.
No.
You hurried your pace a little bit.
Yep. Keep on moving. All right. Next caller.
Hey, Trevor Michelle. A little bit of a trip report. Got back from the Cromwell. Pretty good time. Good cocktail to the bar right near the craft table. Made surprisingly a fire bet. So I won about $1,500 on that, which I hear only hit about once a month of that, Tina. Went to Bouchon. Over at the Venetian, as much as I like French food, a French breakfast is not the way to go if you want to be vocal later. It's just really sit down on you. It's really kind of heavy, all the cream and everything. It was good, but it made me really hard to be vocal later. Other than that, I was just knee-deep in black pussy the rest of the trip. It was great. Looking forward to your podcast. See
you. All right. Thanks for the call. We did return to Bouchon during our first trip.
We did.
For breakfast. And I don't know, what I had wasn't, I don't even remember what it was, but it wasn't super heavy.
Yeah, I think I had the Eggs Benedict. That was delicious. And I had the salmon instead of something.
The salmon instead of something.
Instead of ham. I'm literate today.
I'd like
that
the,
was good. So we had, I had that and the beignets, and I was.
Oh, the beignets are so good.
Oh, God.
I know.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, just the right amount of food. Like, all right, this is going to tide me over.
I think I had an omelet. But yeah. So the Bouchon breakfast is, like, the perfect way to start a day for me, especially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to sit outside.
Yeah, last time the outdoor patio was closed, and this time it was not, and it was just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
So, sorry that you had a heavy food experience there, but, man, I love that place.
Mm-hmm. And their orange juice. I love their orange juice.
Is it still life-changing?
Yes, it's delicious.
I still question whether or not it's really life-changing.
I enjoy it. And isn't that really all that matters?
It is all that matters. Your happiness is my happiness. All right, let's do one more phone call, and then we're going to wrap things up.
All right.
Hey, guys. This is Andrea and John, longtime listeners. We just got back from Vegas, and we had a couple things we wanted to share. One, we took Uber, which a lot of people have done recently, and it was generally awesome. The one thing I would say is we tried to take it from there to the airport, and the driver didn't really know where the pickup point was, which wasn't an issue generally, but we were in kind of a rush. So I would just warn people that if you're in a rush to get to the airport, maybe just don't rely on that. A taxi might be a better thing, but otherwise costs, all that, was way better to do Uber than taxis we've done in the past. Link was awesome, which a lot of people have said. Really like it. We used to say VIP all the time. Total shithole. VIP was. Link, awesome. Beer bar, amazing. The tag bar. There was a bartender. His name is Kaleo from Hawaii, and he knows his shit. Like, he just gave us the best beers the entire time. Like, anyone who goes to that place, go find him. He was amazing. Last thing, my husband and I were having this question. If you guys could pick three songs for the Bellagio fountains, but you would want them to choose to do, sorry, I've had drinks. three songs you would pick for new fountain show songs. What would you guys pick? Very curious to hear what you have to say. Otherwise, love the podcast. So glad you guys got to do this for March Madness, and thank you for all that you do. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for the call. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, I don't know how to answer that.
I think we might have had that question for Dear Tim and Michelle a while back, and I seem to remember that we came up with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
As one of them.
Something that's very theatrical.
Yeah, the other one that I just came up with off the top of my head is Live and Let Die.
Ooh, yeah.
That one would be, because you've got the big explosion thing built in.
Mm-hmm.
AC/DC Thunderstruck?
Sure, yeah.
Is that, I don't know. Is that the one that has?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fire! Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
I don't know. For sure the first two. The third one I'm not so sure on.
Okay,
but
yeah. We'll continue to ponder this.
All right. If we wanted to go like the pop song route.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to go the pop song. Forget it. I don't want to do that. I was going to say Waking Up in Vegas by Katy Perry, but I don't think that would be a... That'd
no,
be like
I don't
this
think
kiss.
That would be a good...
It'd be like This Kiss by Faith Hill. It'd be kind of lame.
Yeah. It's a good song, but I don't think it would make a good fountain show.
No, I don't either. All right. We will talk more about the Bellagio fountains on a future show because we watch them from a good location. And we also talk about our extensive use of Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
We use them a lot. It was, well, we're not going to tell you how it was. You'll have to just wait. That's what we call a teaser here in the podcast world.
God.
All right, let's wrap things up. We've got a ton of phone calls that we're going to hold off on till future shows.
Mm-hmm.
We will be getting caught up over the next several weeks. We also have a bunch of people to thank here for Karma donations over the last several weeks, and I'm going to get through some of these. If you don't hear your name, it's because you will in a future show. So first, recurring monthly donations from Dr. Vonks, Chris, Mike, Ryan, Tom, and Kelly. Thank you to all of you. We do appreciate that. And it means a lot to us that you support the show on an ongoing basis like that. Taylor came back from a trip almost ruined by basketball losses, but a royal flush saved the trip at the end.
Yay.
Awesome. Good for you. Ted with a Jen Dunleavy memorial trip with his dad the week of 3/20. We were hoping to run into Ted and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So sorry we didn't see you there. I know he had a lot going on. And
yeah. I hope he was able to have a good trip.
Yeah. I hope things are going okay. Kenny with a Karma donation for his little brother's bachelor party March Madness trip, which obviously has come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to give Boomer Sooner a shout out. Shout out Boomer Sooner. I don't know what that means.
I think it's something to do with OU, their team.
The Sooners?
Uh-huh.
What is the Boomer part?
I don't know.
His nickname is Boomer?
It might be. Like, I don't know.
He's a baby Boomer who loves the Sooners. Regardless, we shouted him out. Jeffrey with Karma donation for an upcoming trip, which is probably now a past trip. Thank you, Jeffrey. Ryan with an emergency weekend trip for March Madness. Karma donations were 2 for 2. Oh, yay. I hope it's 3 for 3 now. Seth with a Karma donation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Adam, good Karma donation, bachelor party trip with friends for Sweet 16, Elite 8, and a long weekend at the end of March.
Yay.
See, these are old, but saying thank you never gets old. Thank you, guys. Charles said he loves the show. Karma donation for a lone weekend at Caesars for his birthday. Does that mean he's going alone, or does that mean it's like just a one weekend trip, or both?
I don't know.
Anyway, regardless, I hope you had a good birthday.
Well, yeah.
Kyle from Chicago. He said his wife listens to Disney podcasts and he gets us. I'm not sure who has the worst deal there. they trade off going to Orlando and Vegas every other spring break, and he wins this year.
Yay.
Awesome. Well, I hope you had a good trip. Brandon was heading to Shreveport Horseshoe for a little pre-Easter sinning. Way to go. And then hoping for hopping. Wait.
Hoping that the cruise ship casino covers his bar tab in a few weeks.
I can't read. Anyway, hope you had a good time at both of those things.
Yes.
And finally, Davis and Kami, Karma donation. They were headed to Vegas. Wanted to thank us for the podcast. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone.
Yes, we'll be thanking many more of you in the coming weeks as we get caught up here. It's so weird being this far behind and everything.
Yeah.
Through
some of it's my fault because we were going to do a show.
I don't know that
I
would consider an illness your fault.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got sick. It's not like
nobody wanted to listen to me hacking all the way through.
I'm glad you're feeling mostly better.
Me too.
All right. So
glad you didn't get it.
Me too. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I thought for sure either getting sick from you or getting sick because it was my turn for the second Vegas trip, because mm-hmm. it seems like one of us usually gets it. So fortunately, things worked out, and yes. Okay, before we go, Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, October 14th through 16th. Be there. We're going to be doing all the Vimfy stuff, and it's going to be mm-hmm. a great time. We'll talk about it more extensively as we get closer. And of course, I've got a book to pimp, Vegas Outsiders. No, it's not called that. It's called The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas. It's been out for 9 months. I don't know the name yet. If you are interested in buying my book, you can do so from Amazon or at LasVegasOutsidersBook.com. It's also available in the gift shop at the D. And they have sold a few copies from what I'm told.
Okay.
I know. So thank you to everybody who's been buying it. What else? Our website is at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us at 500@gmail.com. I am on Twitter. She is on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. You can reach us anytime, day or night. We would love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. Call us with your reviews, your thoughts, your whatever about Vegas. And we like to use those on our show, so please call. Anything else before we wrap up?
Nope.
All right. Thank you to everybody for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling, for putting up with our confusing schedule as of late. We will be trying to get back on our regular weekend rotation here. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.